Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we are talking about a film that I think was very, very well done. Its title is Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, Journey Beyond Death. And my guest today is Jay Wiedner, who is the director of this very fine movie. And I want to welcome you to the show, Jay.
Hey, Donna. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a real pleasure. I have to say, I was really impressed with the quality of your photography and the different modalities that you incorporated into this film to be able to convey your message. But how in the world did you get involved with this? I know that in the mid-1990s, there were filmmakers Sheldon Rushlin and philosopher Terrence McKenna that wanted to do a film about alchemy. How did this cause you to get to this level of accomplishment with this film?
Well, actually, I've been involved in filmmaking since I was a young man, and I actually had a stint in Hollywood where I was writing screenplays, and always loved filmmaking, but always felt that the films that I was seeing were inadequate to what I thought the art could convey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I got older and I got more involved in spiritual work, I really realized that there was a deficit in the films that I was seeing as far as their the quality of their spiritual messages and things. And that became increasingly frustrated with it as I got into my 40s. And finally, 10 years ago, my wife and I decided that we were going to chuck it all and invest heavily into making a film production company that would produce high-quality films for intelligent people. And so we produced a bunch of instructional and low-budget things. And then we finally got to 2012, The Odyssey, and Time Wave 2013, which preceded the 2012 movement by a few years and kind of really helped shape the 2012 movement. But I haven't made a film for years, and because I wanted to wait for the right vehicle. And About 3 years ago, Alberto Violdo and I were having dinner, and we were talking about the death and life and dimensions and infinity, and we decided to make this film. And I felt such a commitment to the idea that I've devoted the last three years of my life to the creation of it, and I'm proud of what has resulted.
Well, you should be, because it's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
How did you get connected with the information that Sheldon and Terrence had put together in the beginning? How did you make that association with the stepson?
Well, I had a radio show on NPR, and Terrence was a frequent guest of mine years ago. And we were really good friends, and I was very saddened by his death. And when I put out 2012, The Odyssey, at the very beginning is a little 2-minute clip by Terrence, an audio clip that was from a speech that he gave at a conference that I presented years and years ago, and it was really him at his most eloquent. And I guess I got labeled with the moniker being the Terrence McKenna guy. And so about 3 months after that film came out, I got a phone call one night from Morgan Harris, and he introduced himself and told me that he was working on this film. And I had remembered Terrence telling me about this film and wondered for years what had happened to that film. And because I knew it had been shot, but nothing else. I'd never heard anything else because Terrence had died. And it turned out that Morgan Harris was, you know, valiantly putting together the alchemical dream the Terrence McKenna film, on his own. And so he and I began kicking back and forth versions of it. I'm trying to help him shape it into something that would be, you know, viewable and useful. And so after about a year and a half, we came out with that film. And it was a very, very exciting to bring Terrence back to an audience that had not seen Terrence or did not know about Terrence.
I agree. Well, you have, in the beginning of the movie, you go a great deal into historical perspective. And, of course, there's the old saying, we stand on the shoulders of those that have gone before us. And here we are in a cycle of change that is happening so rapidly. A lot of what was so established for literally hundreds of years, even thousands of years, is now dissolving.
It is.
And its crust of antiquity is being literally lasered away because of new modalities of perception and thinking. And that's something that you bring out in this movie. When you were putting it together, because we will be talking about death, this is something that for most people, they just go, oh, yuck, you know, we just don't want to go there.
Yep.
Yet, this is a part of life. You watch nature, there's the seasons, we all have an expiration date of one kind or another, and when you entered into this movie and you started to talk about 2013, I just loved it, because I said, I'm so tired of this 2012 stuff. I really am. I'm so bored with it, because
me
it's
too.
All of this death and dying and,
yes,
you know,
gee
whiz, everything's going to be destroyed. And I thought, well, if it's all destroyed, who cares? I mean, it's not going to make any difference.
No.
And your titles that you put out here, The Future Is Now, and this is a sequel to 2012, The Odyssey. And it's, let's take back the positioning of being empowered. And that's what your film is all about. And I really like this. When you were working on it, what was it that you found that changed in your own modalities?
Well, I think what happened with me was that I knew in like 2005 that they were going, Hollywood and everyone was going to do this 2012 shtick, which in fact I was right on. They're going to come out with all the gloom and doom and everything. And so I made 2012 to kind of circumvent that, preempt that by putting out the positive side before they could get their mucky hands in there and ruin everything. And then with 2013, I wanted to show the actual, the physics and the reality behind the ability of us to project into the future whatever future we want. And that's kind of my main theme now, is that, you know, okay, we pretty much know the secret and all that. We know that if you really want to make your own future, you can do it. It's not that hard. I mean, you have to still work and everything, but you can do it. Okay, so what's the more profound question? The more profound question is, what kind of world do we want collectively? And then, you know, it becomes the secret of the secret. What is, you know, yes, I can get a 40-bedroom house and all the money I want if I really work at it, but how about us all deciding on our own in a collective way what it is that we all want and building that world and using a target date of, like, say, 2013 to do it? And I know it sounds crazy and wild, but you know what? It actually could happen. And we just have to change the way we think. And one of the things that, you know, I try to suggest in that movie and elsewhere is we need to kind of abandon the old culture, not ignore it almost, and just create our own. And a parallel culture, spiritual values and things that they begin to emulate because they're entranced by what it is that we're creating. And I think that's one of our big problems, is we're too busy trying to change the old culture instead of maybe just creating our own and completely ignoring them. And I think that's what Sacred Mysteries is trying to do with their films, is try to create films with which almost are another world that you cannot get in cinema. and in the movies. And so when you go there, it's like completely different. The landscape is different. Everything is different. The intellectual content, the spiritual content is completely alien to that which you will find in the blockbuster. So I think that's really what we're trying to do, is try to show people how to begin to using the tools of modern world to help create an alternative culture that answers the up to the things that we all think we really need, like community and fresh air and water and love and open spiritual way of looking at things. These are the things that we all agree on, and it's not really all that hard to create that world.
Well, I think what's important is to not be afraid of ingenuity, not to be afraid. See, one of the things that I liked about what you put in here, and it's if you're not afraid, you can't be controlled.
This,
to me, is so significant, because if you look at various cultures throughout history, and we're even seeing it today, if you want to control anybody or a population, your mechanism is fear. And one of the many points, it's not the only one, but one of the many points that's brought out is that if you are aware and you're a participant in life and you are actively involved and you're active about thinking and you come from a positioning of trying to find out how you can best be who you can be with integrity and how can you put whatever you've got out there in the world with the same standards that you value, then you need to be aware that fear is the one thing that is going to undermine anything that you want to do. And you bring that point out, and the fear of death, the fear of dying, that's why these mega movies make so many millions on these horrific tragedies. There seems to be something in the human psyche that actually, in a way, really wants that to happen. It's like releasing responsibility, but it's not the truth.
That's a very, very, very prescient view. I completely agree. And that is actually, to be honest with you, because you said it, I'm going to admit it, that actually is the entire reason that I made Infinity. I wanted to make people use every single thing in my power to try to convince people that they should not be afraid of death. And in that moment, when they realize that there's another world beyond this, and that is the greatest self-empowerment ever, and with that we can overturn mountains, governments, political systems, everything could vanish. Everything that stands between us and a decent place to live is that fear that they're going to do something to us, when in fact there's nothing they can do to us. They can't kill us because we can't die. And in that, when we realize that, they will have no power. And then everything will change overnight. And I really believe we're headed towards this. And I don't think it's going to take too many courageous people to just stand up and say, listen, you know, I'm not going to sit here and let this go on and on. You know, I'm going to do something. And when enough, the powers that be will just wither away, and a new paradigm will take over, and we're all going to look back and go, man, am I glad that's over.
I think that's true. And that's what has happened in multiple ways. Again, if you look at history, usually it takes that point where a group of people, if they take a stand, and when I say that, I don't mean that you become militant. It's almost like what Gandhi did.
It is what Gandhi
did. Gandhi did, because he would say, we can make a motion, we can make a movement that will get attention, but let's not go out there killing each other. That's a waste of time. It's very costly on so many levels. But I think of his wife, who, just this little tiny, tiny woman when they were in South Africa, and the women of India had been put upon by the British government in a very negative way, in such a way they were told that they were not legitimately married unless they were married under British law. Well, now here were hundreds of women that had been maybe married for a number of years, and all of a sudden they would be considered like a woman of the street by British law if they didn't acquiesce to the Brits' particular positioning at that time. And so what happened is she just led all of these women in protest. Quietly. Yeah. Just all, here are all of these women that never, ever did any more. They hardly ever spoke up. And Gandhi had said to his wife, you need to lead. She said, me? You got to be kidding. I mean, here's this little itsy-bitsy tiny woman with a will of steel. And he said, yes, you have to do it because you're a woman. You know
sure.
how this is going to affect other women. And she did. And they didn't
yeah.
put the law through, and they made changes. And
yep.
that's what he learned. So the power of one becomes multiplied.
That's right.
And it is absolutely
I love that scene. I love that scene in the movie Gandhi, and I hope it actually happened when Trevor Howard, the head of the British military, walks up to Gandhi, and he's laying there, sitting there on the floor in lotus, and he goes, oh, so you don't think that we're just going to walk out of India, do you? And Gandhi goes, oh no, you don't have to walk out there. You could take a train. There's boats. You know, that's the kind of courage I'm talking about. It's like,
yes.
you know.
But that was something he knew, and sadly, a lot of people have forgotten that. And it's a war between mentalities, I believe. Now,
I agree.
Something I want to bring out is that in your movie, you have Neil Donald Walsh, you have Greg Braden, you have Daniel Brinkley, Alberto Villaldo, John Holland, Stanislav Grof, Robert Thurman, obviously we've mentioned him, Brian Weiss, you have Mr. Ponlop, you have Renee Dollinger. You have all of these different personalities that give their perspectives regarding death.
Yep.
And I think that this is very good, and I love the information that Alberto shares, especially regarding past histories in the dreaming
yeah.
process, in that, go into that a little bit, because he gives
yeah.
a perspective that I think is very refreshing.
I agree, and I think he's such a clear and articulate voice. That's why I really wanted to make the film with him. He talks about the, you know, we do know, a lot of people know about you go into a past life review when you die, but what he talks about is you do that, but you also go into a past life review of all of your lives. And I think that that's such a radical and incredible notion that it just, you know, can't go, you know, without you thinking very clearly about that. And you can see that there is an infinite structure to reality, and so there must be an infinite structure to consciousness. And none of this is that hard to believe. I came, you know, I got into this because my mom died in 2002, and I frankly, thinking I'm a big, huge expert on metaphysics, have written books and made movies and everything, you know, I thought, oh my God, you know, I can handle this. I'll tell her what's going on. She won't be worried. But you know what? You can't when they're in
mm-hmm.
that state. And that's when I realized that if I made a film that they could just sit and watch alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let them really experience what's about to happen. That my mother may not have died in such a state of fear as she did. And so this is really what cinema should be doing anyway. And Alberto and I both, you know, had loved ones die around the same time. And that's when we decided that we needed to go out and change the basic underlying structure of the spiritual notion itself. And Einstein said that, you know, you can't solve a problem at the place that the problem is created. You need to solve the place above where the problem was created. So if you have a huge political problem or an economic problem, you're not going to solve it with politics or economic theory. What you're going to solve it for is you have to rise above it. And so the level above the material world is the spiritual world. And so how can you make people realize that they're really, truly spiritual beings and not material beings? And so we use the doorway of death, the doorway that we all have to one day open and go through, as our passageway into a kind of new paradigm of thinking about what a human being is and what time is. I think the Neil Donald Walsh's thing about time, that there is no time, that, you know, your loved ones are with you forever, even if they're still alive. This is an incredible idea when you start thinking about it. And I think that we've been fooled into certain kinds of ways of thinking out of convenience. And if we shatter those ways of thinking, then we're going to shatter that reality. A new consciousness will then have enough space to move into. And I think this is all happening right now. That's what's really quite amazing about everything right now.
There is a wonderful lady, Renate Dollinger, I want you to talk about this woman. I watched her, and I felt like she was kin. Her story is so incredible. You must share that with my audience.
Well, yeah, and the way that she tells her story, it's so matter-of-fact when, in fact, the story is so incredible. But basically, Renate was living in a wealthy family in Germany when the Nazis took power in the early 30s, and they killed her father, and then they killed her mother, too, and she barely escaped. She was loaded into the back of the train, and the people in the front of the train went to Holland, and the people in the back of the train went to England. The people that went to Holland went there, and as we well know, the Nazis then attacked Holland. The Nazis did not attack Britain except for bombing, and so she escaped the Nazis. And then she met an angel in Britain one day. And the angel, or whatever it was, you know, looked like a human, but it knew her past. It knew that her family had died. It knew her future. It knew that she would be a great artist. And it told her about death and life, and she then went on with her life, and she was told to start creating these paintings much later, which were about a past life of hers. And she began recreating this village in Poland, you know, to such a degree of detail that it almost seemed unbelievable that she could just be making this out of sheer cloth. And, in fact, her story is so credible because she is so credible. And she's just completely no nonsense. If you talk to her, she's not a woo-woo kind of person. If you met her, you would think she was your grandmother.
Right.
And then she starts saying these things, and you sense chills down your spine when you realize that she's, you know, she's giving out these profound truths that have been known to extreme esoteric people, but are not privy really to the general public. And here she is, and she's just saying it as, you know, experiencing, you know, this interactive communication with the parallel universe from which we go to, from which we come from when we are born, and to which we go to when we die. And she has that great line, which, I mean, it brings tears to everybody's eyes when they see it, when she says, you can only judge another person after you've walked in their sandals, and you become what you hate. And those two lines are the two most profound lines in the movie, I think. And she utters both of them. And I don't know if I could ever, you know, top that the profundity of those two lines. Are just, it's stunning. You know, you become what you hate. So don't hate, because that's what you're going to become.
Well, and that's wisdom that is timeless.
That is
absolutely timeless. Because what you focus on is what is going to take root in you. And if you focus on the hate, or, you know, and like with her, even though her family was destroyed, she had the experience with this person who was so profound, and then she's given the guidance that she's, like you said, to do these paintings. And how many were there? Were there 10? There was a number of
39
them.
39 at first.
Oh,
and now 39. There's hundreds. Yeah, now there's
and
hundreds.
And she was not permitted. She was told not to sell them for the longest time.
No, so they're still not able to be sold. She has to keep all of them in order.
Yes, because it is representing a chronological history. Now, anything else that she does, she can sell.
That's right. She is
not to sell. And I, you know, this woman, I look at her and I see, like you said, the directness and sincerity and the clarity.
And no judgment either.
No.
I mean, you know, she doesn't judge the Nazis even.
Mm-mm.
She doesn't judge anything. When you're watching, you're like, you know, I don't know if I could be this non-judgmental if my whole family had been killed. You know, but there she is, and no judgment. And it's, you know, she's truly walking the walk, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And she is saying, this is what I can share with you. This is what's there. This woman is so incredible. And the artwork that you show.
I'll bet she's on Oprah before this is over. I'm going to make that prediction.
Well,
I
hope
she
is.
I'll bet she ends up on Oprah, yeah.
I hope she is.
I do, too. I do, too.
I think a book should be written about her life.
Again, I agree.
These stories, when they're shared, and that's one of the many gifts that your film gives.
Well, thank you. It is
the gift of visual beauty, the exquisite landscapes that you have, the interviews with Alberto, I think, let's see, Alberto's the one that talked with the Mayas, isn't he?
Yes,
he's the one that speaks with the Mayas. He's right there with a Mayan shaman that has a condor on his back. You have all of these things, and I was reflecting on that when we were discussing how the old is being, you know, crushed. It's being lasered very quickly. And yet you see these old things, but they are not trying to make it into what it is not. And the Mayans are very comfortable in their own skins. This is something that they say, this is what you need to honor, this is what you need to respect. And the way that he translates the Mayans' communication, I think, is just very well done.
He's just a great guy, and he's really got, you know, he's one of the few people that really understands indigenous people and respects them and gets their respect back. And he's just been a great conduit to that whole entire thing and a real help to us. And he was great in Infinity. And we just love Alberto. By the way, if people listen, they can get Infinity at www.sacredmysteries.com. That's our website. Got all sorts of the videos that she's been talking about and more. We've got Healing Sounds, Art Mind with Alex Gray, Healing the Luminous Body with Alberto, which is probably one of our best-selling videos, which has now been out for about 10 years, but really teaches you how to heal your luminous energy field, which is the primary reason for your being here, really, in a way. So, yeah.
Well, you have so many wonderful people, the art in the movie itself, the flashbacks into medieval history, the connections that we have with the past that many times people like to ignore, not understanding why they are where they are because of things that have gone on in the past. And then the fractals, the fractal art that you use, that you bring in, the colors. I think it has a nice movement to it. There is so much information here. You have the different segments broken out. And I think really it is going to be enjoyed by many, many people. And I'd recommend anyone who's listening to go to sacredmysteries.com, check this out, look at the information, and if you are feeling as if you are searching for some information, just a different perspective, understanding perhaps different modalities you've wanted to explore, this is a wonderful, wonderful medium to be able to utilize. And I think anything that is thought-provoking, anything that is empowering, anything that enables you to recognize your own individuality is a good thing, because when we can accept ourselves, then you're not going to be an isolationist. You're going to find yourself wanting to be out in life because you're pleased with who you are. You like the fact that you want to grow, and you know the only way you can continue to grow is by interaction with others. And I really appreciate very much your being with me today, Jay. What is your next project that you've got online?
Well, I've got 6 projects coming downstream. Probably the most exciting is the Sacred Geometry of Time with Master Geometrist Robert Lawler, and he's coming out of hiding to reveal the very, very, very ancient secrets of ancient India and Egypt, and it's mind-blowing to say the least.
Well, you'll have to be sure to send me a copy because I would enjoy it very much. This movie, Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, it's not just about death. It is about life. It is about living life with a purpose, understanding that you as the individual are very significant. You have a place in this phenomenal experience we call life, and it empowers you to recognize that there's a lot we don't know, and it's exciting because this gives you something to look forward to, not to be afraid of. Jay, thank you again. Jay Wiedner, who is the director
thank
of
you,
this
Donna.
Wonderful film Infinity, has been with me. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hello, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756, and we have a lady on the line already, Cindy from Florida. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. How are you tonight?
Well, I am doing absolutely magnificently. Cindy, what part of Florida are you in, dear?
Central Florida, just outside of Orlando.
All right. That's a beautiful area, and I know the sun's shining. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we have temperatures, let's see, this morning it was a balmy 28 degrees.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we've already been down in the high 30s once this year, which was really early for us just last week, and actually just last weekend. And then we had some major storms move through last night with tornado watches, and today was absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, sunshiny in the 70s.
Ah, yes. Well, I'll keep visualizing. I'll get a fan out so I can feel like I'm right there.
Okay.
Well, I've got on my long johns because I'm here where it's 28 degrees. Well, let's get down to business with you, Cindy. The first thing I'm looking at is a pile of paper. Now, this paper doesn't seem to have any writing on it, so to me it's symbolic. You are going to be busy and active with writing, and I would like very much to encourage you to not worry about trying to do a whole bunch of this writing all at once. You're going to find that the writing will evolve in phases, but there is something that you're going to want to put out. There is something that you're going to want to share. And what will evolve is it's going to take you a while. It could take you up to a year, year and a half, to be able to put all of this together. But I'm seeing it a little bit of some pieces here. It reminds me of what a friend of mine did relative to her mother's life. And she went around to different family members and did interviews and wrote everything down. And when she could, she'd audio tape it. And eventually she was able to put together enough material that was just great. So I don't know that that's what you're doing, but there is something you're wanting to put together so it can be in printed format. And when you look at it, I'm seeing this thick stack of paper. It's like, oh my goodness, am I going to be able to do this? That's terrifying when I'm looking at that paper that I'm supposed to put something on every single page there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. Just take it one step at a time, and you'll be able to get all of the material together, and there will be someone that you'll find that can help you assess your material, evaluate it, edit it, maybe make some adjustments in how it is laid out. It will all come together magnificently. So you just need to allow, just start off one step at a time. Now, the issue for you at this moment, it looks as if you have a pretty tight financial belt. You have made some changes in your life that you feel are significant. You also are of the mindset that you really want to go into the new year of 2010 with a real good plan. I think you're right on the money. There's nothing wrong with your thinking. I want you to just follow through and do what you know you need to do. So you may want to get into the habit of having something like a blackboard or a whiteboard that you write on, where you say, this is what I want done by XYZ, and looking at your prioritizing. If you do that, you're going to discover that you're able to pretty much hit the mark of time. If it's pushed out a little bit, don't get upset with that. But you have to have that right in front of you. You are learning how to let go of what I call the fluff stuff. You are learning how to focus in a way unlike anything you've ever done before. And that is going to have such a positive effect on your life overall. It is really going to surprise you. So I want to encourage you to keep moving forward, because that is really going to be a tremendous blessing to you in so many ways that you cannot even imagine. You have a wonderful holiday season in front of you, and I think that as this year sort of evaporates away, you're going to look back and say, I'm glad this year is finished. I didn't have a particularly fun time through certain moments, but I learned a lot, and I'm going to move forward with more clarity in 2010, and it will happen that way for you. You've got a very intense 5 years ahead of you. There's no shortcuts here. Just know you just roll up your shirt sleeves and go to work. But you are learning disciplines that are going to make you far more effective. What would you like to ask me today?
Wow. Thank you, Donna. Wow. You're just dead on. I was laid off from my job 2 weeks ago, so I'm struggling financially,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to go in a new direction. In the interim, while I'm looking for another more permanent job or to go into a new career that I'm looking to start, I'm just started baking gourmet cheesecakes that I've been doing for years, but trying to put out and get some orders for that through the holidays to get me through until I get some more income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is actually about the healing work that I've been led to do, and I do energy healing, and I work with horses, I work with people. I want to be able to either work at a ranch or have my own, where I can do that work and incorporate it into my life, make my living through that, so I'm not distracted with all the other problems of making a living elsewhere and not having enough time to devote to that. Do you see that working out for me, and how can I put that together most efficiently.
All right.
To make
yes.
that happen.
Yes, and I think it's going to take about 5 years. So I'm just being very honest with you. This is not going to be a fast trot, pun intended. What
okay.
you're going to need to do is write out exactly what you said, that this is what you want to be committed to for full time. Then what I would encourage you to do is some research. The first step would be research. Who is it, let's say, just within the state of Florida? Let's just take that landscape for right now. That's involved with a similar line of work, energy healing with animals, whether it's horses or anything else. It doesn't make any difference. Find out who else is considered extremely skilled in this modality. Then I would be in touch with them and see if they would make recommendations for certifications, training, and or apprenticeship where you could align yourself with people that are knowledgeable, because there are very few people actually that do this, and the need is quite large. I believe you will find that there will be those individuals that will be happy to give you whatever you need in the way of, you know, hands-on experience. But you need to find out where you can get the certifications that will allow you to qualify. Like with the Reiki healing, you have so many different levels you can go to, and you can get certification with that. I would encourage you to look at that. Whatever you might need to have a certification in, that gives you a credibility. Then aligning yourself with people who are also skilled and learning their modalities, maybe it'll fit with you, maybe it won't, but you're aware of it. And developing a good communication linkage with people of like mind, so that if you don't have an answer or you find something that you're doing isn't effective, maybe you'd be able to refer somebody to them. But it is that connecting factor, even with veterinarians and people that deal with animals a great deal. So I think you have got something here that could grow very nicely. I think there would be that point where you would make a decision, it's time for me to go professional. It could be an indicator from someone. They would say, gee whiz, I want to pay you for what you did. And you'd say, well, thank you. I accept that gift. And you don't go through, gee whiz, I don't charge for this, blah, blah, blah. You would say, yes, thank you. I accept the gift. But you will need to set your fee schedule according to the time that might be there. And again, I think it's just something that you need to learn. So cheesecakes that you're doing right now, I think that's marvelous. I think that that'll always be a hobby for you. You enjoy cooking, especially desserts. And this is something that I think will be a love of yours always. It's a great way for you to relax. I think that you'll probably have two other positionings before you get to the modality of expertise of energy healing with animals that you really will be recognized. So don't be upset with my words. Just understand that you're in the process. This is where the focusing comes in. This is where you're not being involved with other stuff that take you away from what you want to do. It's like going for a PhD. So you're on the right track. Just keep on keeping on. What is it that you were doing, and what is it you're looking towards trying to find in the way of work?
I was in a sales job, which involved the horse industry and computer software.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the company, it was a new startup company, and they said their investors pulled out and didn't mm-hmm. have the funding for payroll anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, that happened.
Contract.
But I would get I'd get a hold of some other people in the industry that if horses are especially your love, just keep on with this. You're not doing the wrong thing. You're doing the right thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome. And don't be concerned if you find yourself having to move.
Okay.
All right, because okay. There may be an opportunity. So just be wise.
Okay. As far as moving for a job possibility?
Well, yes, but also a different location where you're going to be able to be deeply involved in the work that you are aspiring to do.
Okay.
And I want to wish you a wonderful holiday season.
You too, Donna. Have an absolutely wonderful holiday and New Year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You are such a blessing.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna. I want to give out the number if you want to give me a call like Cindy did today. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about angels and miracles. I believe in them quite strongly. Joan Anderson does too. And this is a woman that I have a great deal of respect for. She's highly recognized as a writer. She has 2 books we're going to be discussing. Moms Go, Where Angels Fear to Tread, and Where Miracles Happen. Both of these books are just delightful. So we're going to be talking about the effects of miracles. And Joan is just a delightful woman. She's a repeat guest on the show, and her stories are true stories that people have sent in to her through the years. Then on Monday, we're going to be honoring the men and women in the military service. We're going to be talking with Rosalie Turner, who wrote the book Sisters of Valor. This is about the wives and families of the soldiers, then what they have to go through. And then Mr. D. Schiavone, this is about the eternal soldier. This gentleman is in his 80s now, and he served in World War II. This is his story that his daughter talked him into telling, writing out, because he didn't want to do it. But she said, Dad, your story is important. The younger generation doesn't know. You need to write it down. He did, and I had the privilege of receiving it. So we're going to be talking with both of those wonderful authors on Monday, and then we're going to be talking about what's your body telling you. Steve Seigold is going to be my guest, and we are going to be going into some detail about how we can learn to listen to our own bodies. The Wolf at Twilight, Kent Nerburn, is going to be my guest. We've got a lot to discuss with him. And then Linda McNabb, One Again. This is her story of a journey. It's written in a fiction format, but it really is a story about her life and how she discovered the strength of herself and was able to get back on track in life so she could accomplish what she wanted to accomplish. And then, a week from tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Thomas Ray Crowell. We're going to be talking about a murder. The Passerby is the title of the book. It's a true story and how he got involved in the solution, the solving of a cold case that people had given up on many, many years ago. So we've got a great lineup of guests next week. I hope you'll tell your friends and also take time if you have the opportunity to say hello. And if you want to give me a call, I'll light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And we'll have so many things to share with you. Also, if you have a wonderful family recipe and you would like to send it to me so that you could share it with the audience, do so. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Now, I want to finish up the astrological forecast, our horoscope for the winter season. We'll be covering Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. All the rest of you have been taken care of. So let's go into the Capricorn. What's going to be happening for you this winter? Well, family and my life may end up being a little bit challenging for you during the winter months of this year, but be patient, be diplomatic, and you're going to be able to surmount what seems to be horrific obstacles with a lot of graciousness. And you might have some plans thrown to the moon between the end of December to the middle of January, but you're going to find that you're going to be able to turn things around and have things start moving the way you want after the middle of January and find that you're really doing well. Money, well, you are going to be making a difference with income because of your consistency, your dedication, your persistence. If you're a Capricorn, you're going to get results that are really going to make a difference. If you're looking for a job, always promote the fact that you bring something to the table that other people may not have. And you're going to find that your financial positioning is not only going to be strong, but it's going to be getting stronger because of how you do what you need to do for yourself. Travel, holy Moses, you're going to have a lot of opportunities during 2010. You're, in fact, going to perhaps have the opportunity to be around other cultural environments. And don't be afraid to put yourself in those that are rather upscale. Don't be afraid to walk into a store that maybe is on Rodeo Drive or whatever else. Realize that you want to expose yourself to whatever it can possibly bring you in the way of expanding your thinking and your awareness of what is available to you in the way of opportunity. So that's for Capricorn. Let's go to Aquarians, you dynamic souls, you, starting in early December. If you're looking for romance, apparently you are going to be able to find some. Also, it appears that the family is going to be extremely important to your well-balance, your communication skills. You need to work on them a bit. Understand that words can be two-edged swords, and you want to be sure that how you use those words are not going to cut, that they are going to be the kind of words that would allow you to get your point across without harm. Also, money and career, well, you may find that money is going to be sort of flat for you, but I don't want you to give up your dreams. You need to be alert that you're going to need to budget. You're going to have to pay attention to what you do with your money. And around February, you're going to find if you're looking for a job, there are some opportunities that are going to come your way, but you also have to be prepared for change. This is very important for Aquarians. Travel, well, I think you're going to find yourself really yearning to go to places that you've never been before. And you will just really enjoy the process of thinking out what you'd like to do. So even though you may find that your dollars are going to have to be watched very thoughtfully, you still can put a little bit aside on a regular basis and take that special trip that really means a great deal to you and have fun. Make sure you go to where you want to go, not try to fulfill somebody else's needs, but do what really is going to be for you in the way of travel a joy. Pisces? Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like romance is just shining. I think Cupid really, really wants to bring a lot of love into your life so many different ways. And just know if there's been any hard feelings with anyone, you're pretty much going to get past them. Money and career, it means that you are going to find that you have an opportunity because of the way you view things to be able to make a very good income. And travel, well, it's possible. You're going to find that if you focus on where you really want to go, what it is you want to do, it will come about in the most wonderful way. Well, my goodness, this is Donna Siebel. We are out of time. Join me tomorrow for Angels and Miracles. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.